So our reading this morning is from Acts chapter 4, verses 32 to chapter 5, verse 11. That can be found in the Red Bibles on page 1096 or in the Accessible Bible on page 465. So that's Acts chapter 4, starting at verse 32. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there was no needy person among them. From time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Now, a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, "Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied just to human beings, but to God." When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. And great fear seized all who heard what had happened. Then some young men came forward, wrapped up his body, and carried him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, "Tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land?" "Yes," she said, "that is the price." Peter said to her, "How could you conspire to test the Spirit of the Lord? Listen, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also." At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. Then the young men came in and, finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. This is the word of the Lord.
You keep the passage open and let me pray. Father God, we ask that you would open our hearts and our minds. You'd help us to hear you, to be challenged, and to be changed. In Jesus' name, amen. Often you say, "I never tell lies." That in itself is the first one. For most of us, that's just not true. Well, all of us, that's just not true. And it's very natural, isn't it? Children learn to lie at a very young age. "It's never my fault. I didn't do that. I didn't touch that. I definitely didn't eat it." And it doesn't change much till we get into childhood, from childhood into adulthood. We lie. But harmless lies, do they matter? And what sort of things are they? Let's look at some classic lies. "I'm fine." In that sort of voice which says, "Well, of course I'm not." "I love this present." That's one you can practice for Christmas. "I'm sorry, I'm sick." "Let's keep in touch." That's a great one, isn't it? You know, you meet somebody for coffee. "Let's keep in touch." Christmas cards, that is. And so let's deal with that. This is one that I'm very guilty of. "I'm leaving in 5 minutes." It's usually when I'm actually leaving work, and it really transpires for 45. This is one that I hear a lot in my own house. "I'll be ready in 15 minutes. And, you know, you don't need to lose weight." I'm not going to comment on that one. But little white lies don't hurt anybody, do they? Or do they? I think that's the problem. I think we've got this old adage that a little white lie doesn't hurt anybody, but it's just not true. And the story today shows that and shows the significance of it. Let's start about where lies come from and why we lie. In essence, lying is self-preservation. It's actually because we know the truth will damage us. We know that if we say something, it will cause a problem. Either because you will be questioned on it, you'll be found that you weren't really being completely truthful, or you'll say something that will hurt somebody. But is this behavior compatible with the Christian life? I think the answer is no. Why? Because the Christian life is all about being the follower of Jesus and being like Jesus. And actually, when we look at Jesus' life in the Gospels, he was completely selfless. He was completely truthful, even to the point of being really unpopular because he was so truthful. Getting to the point where he gave up his life for us. So actually, it is incompatible. This ability that we have to lie is incompatible with a life of Christ. And this story, or these two stories, there's two little stories in this which actually give us a real guidance on what is the effects of believing in Christ should be like and shouldn't be like. What it's saying, in essence, is the Christian heart is loosened in relationship to things and tightened in relationship to people. Let me say that again. The Christian heart is loosened in relationship to things and tightened in relationship to people. And that's what these passages are talking about. That the fact is that as Christians, as followers of Christ, we should hold less to the possessions of the world around us. And we should focus far more on the relationships of the people we have. Verse 32 says, all the believers were in one heart and mind. No one claimed to have any possessions of their own, but they shared everything that they had. This is what authentically believing in Jesus looks like. That they were less bothered about their stuff. No one claimed they had any possessions of their own, but shared everything that they had because they were more focused on relationships with others. They were becoming united because of Jesus and united in love. And what it means is that they were holding less to the things of the world and much more focusing on how to actually share Christ with others. Within this passage, we see this. And this is what this story is all about. A society, a group, who were a community that were utterly transformed by Jesus and revolutionized the way that they did life because it was about caring for other people, not caring for myself, freely selling land and houses and possessions and giving money and distributing to those in need. Why did they do this? Did they do this because there was some sort of rule that they signed up for or that the pastor said so? Did Peter every Sunday do a bit of a impassioned plea saying, give us your money? Or perhaps that actually they were laboring under the rules of the Old Testament? And the answer is no. They did this for simple reason. One, sorry, it's a bit small, but it's Luke 12. Verses 32 to 33. And Jesus said this. He said, do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. So why were Acts 4 doing it? Because Jesus told them to do it. This wasn't actually about them being told by or impassioned to because of the fact they were part of a church. It was the fact they wanted to do it because it was about relationship with Jesus. Jesus said do it, so they did it. They didn't do it to try and gain points with God. They didn't try to do it to keep the church rules. They did it because Jesus told them to do it, and they believed him. And they believed the promises that he gave because he tells them how much he loves them. And that will allow us to have freedom. And And Luke, in this story, is stressing a bit about what liberty from view on possessions is like and what being focused on possessions is like. This is not, in essence, a talk or a passage predominantly about money. Otherwise, we'd have done the collection after this. It's a way to motivate the giver, really, isn't it, you know? Let's read the story of Ananias and Sapphira. Now, if you'd like to give, that would be fantastic. It's nothing about that. It is actually about our hearts and our motivation and why we do things. And actually, here we see in the story with Ananias. Ananias sold a field, and he bought part of the proceeds and gave it to them. However, if we look at the context of the previous passage, it talks about the fact that the people who sold their land came and gave everything to the disciples, laid at their feet. And specifically here, Luke is highlighting the fact that Ananias and Sapphira didn't do that. What they did is they sold something and deliberately kept part back. Now, that's not the problem. It's not saying anywhere here that you had to give everything. The problem is the fact that they pretended that they were giving everything. They pretended they were giving everything. They hadn't had a change of heart. There was no change in them. Look at verse 2. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but bought the rest and put it at the disciples' feet. But he doesn't then say, I've sold this field, I've given you a bit of the money, I'm going to keep the rest of the money. He doesn't say that. He just almost, I'll give the money like everybody else, and that'll look good for me. He's lying by his actions. And it's compounded when you look at what his wife said as well. When Peter said to his wife, is this the price of the land that you and Ananias paid for it? She said, yes, it is. So it was obviously some sort of conspiracy that they were actually there. They were going to hide how much money they had. But why? It's not about tax relief. This is not about offsetting it against your tax return. This is about the fact they wanted to appear to be better than they were. They wanted to appear to be really godly. There was no constraints on Ananias to give all of it, to give a portion of it. It was about the heart and the honesty. Peter isn't coercing anybody in this passage. But Ananias and Sapphira feel that they have to lie, because they feel they cannot do this. Peter says in this passage, this was yours. Verse 4, did it not belong to you before it was sold and after it was sold for your disposal? So you could have done this. This would be fine. So why did you lie? Why did you lie to me? Why did you lie to God? Why did you make everybody think that you were being so, so generous because you were such good Christians? What he is doing here is Luke is describing what actually happens when we nominally turn to Christ, but we don't change our lives. Because we're not really changing. We're keeping hold of the past. And he actually counterpoints that with another story back in the previous verses 36 and 37. Enter. And what we're looking at here is looking at two different stories, the old way and the new way. And the person we're looking at is the person of Barnabas. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, verse 36, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned, brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Here is a story of a man who actually really has been transformed from the inside out. A man for whom actually has received Jesus and it has changed him. So much so that actually they change his name. Son of encouragement. You know, how much more encouraging would it be? Or is it? Have you ever had the situation where somebody has given you a gift, maybe a gift of money because it's something you needed, or another gift to say, thank you. Wasn't asked for, wasn't requested. Nobody knew you wanted it, but they felt they needed to give it to you. And here this is a little caveat story, a little tiny story. Barnabas appears elsewhere throughout the Acts. Little story about somebody for whom actually really was changed. Who was a mature, reliable, Jesus-focused leader. Who was doing this in order that he could bless other people. Why? Because Jesus commanded it. He stands up for that. And then what we have afterwards, straight afterwards, in verse 5, which follows, is the story of Ananias and Sapphira, who are completely the opposite. Barnabas' motivation was the fact he wanted to be like Christ. It wasn't about him. It wasn't about his motivation. He gave everything. Whereas Ananias and Sapphira didn't. They were changed on the outside. They looked nominally good, but actually they had not changed on the inside. They still wanted to be and control. They still wanted to hold back some money. But they wanted to appear to be like they were so generous. The reason that they dropped dead is not because they're hypocrites. Fortunately. Because I think there'd be a lot of dead people in church. Because everybody is a hypocrite to one degree or another. The reason they drop dead here is a stunning warning to the church that this phony Christianity, look like one thing but is not really, can only end one way. I think it's a bit of a parallel as well about what Jesus came to do for us. Barnabas, the story of described around Barnabas, is somebody who'd given himself to Christ, who actually gave all, and God then blessed. Ananias and Sapphira didn't do that. And in fact, in many ways, for us, it's a warning. For those of us who want to look like we're good Christian religious people, but we haven't really given our hearts to Christ. We haven't really laid it all down like Barnabas has done and given it to God. And what is the cost? Death. Tim quoted the passage earlier. A Romans passage about the wages of sin are death. However, freedom and eternal life is only found through Christ. Ananias and Sapphira are a little case study in what not giving everything to Christ and just being religious leads to. Whereas Barnabas gives us an indication about when you give our whole lives to Christ and we're all in, that actually we are blessed because we bless other people. As I said to you earlier on, this is not about giving. Because to be honest, there's nothing in this passage and there's nothing in any of the, when you read the Acts, about how much people are required to give. And at no point is there some sort of impassioned plea. There's no stewardship campaign here. There is no saying that you have to give cash. Because everybody had something different. You know, from time to time, those who owned land and houses sold them and bought the money. It doesn't mean that other people didn't do other things. It doesn't mean people who didn't have much didn't give their time, give their effort. And the story of the widow's mite, which is the story of how the widow, the rich man gave what out of what he had, almost his excess. And the widow gave the smallest amount, a very small coin. And Jesus said, the person who actually has given the most is the widow. Even though it's the smallest, it's cost her more than everybody else. So it's not about the size of something. It's not about what you give. It's about your motivation for giving. It's about your motivation for doing it. And actually, it's a warning against religious fakery. That we pretend to be one thing and really was something different. And you can see the effect it had on the church. Verse 11. It's one of the wonderfully understated statements of the Bible. And great fear seized the whole church and all those who heard about the event. I bet it they did. You know, somebody came, gave a gift of money to the church, and they dropped down dead because it wasn't good enough. Now, that would increase the... Well, it would either enter your church entirely or would increase your giving every month. But that's not what this is really all about. It's about the fact that the reason they were seized with fear was because it was about the fact that we are called to serve Christ wholeheartedly. And Ananias and Sapphira did not do that. They followed Christ with caveats. And a caveat was money. And they lied. So what can a little lie do? A little lie can cost you everything. A little lie can cost you eternal life. The challenge for each of us in this passage is, who are we more like? Ananias, Sapphira, or Barnabas? I can't answer the question because actually each of us has to consider that for ourselves. Ananias and Sapphira had a veneer of being religious and a new follower of Christ. But their actions then led to incredible judgment and punishment, which is actually for all of us. But they didn't have the confidence that Christ would stand and say, yeah, they've done all those things, however, they're mine. Because it is a veneer. Or are we going to be more like Barnabas? Completely sold out. Completely focused on the fact that Jesus is everything. Not holding anything back. Not really caring about reputation. Not really caring about holding anything for a rainy day. Not caring about how they're seen. Not even caring about their own security, but wanting to follow Jesus in every way they can. Barnabas prioritized relationship over possessions. His relationship with Jesus, his relationship with other people. And Ananias and Sapphira, they prioritized their possessions over relationships. They lied to the people they went to church with. They lied to the Holy Spirit. Who are we more like? And who do we need to be more like? We should be a church which lives out some of the things between in verses 32 to 35. That we are sold out for Jesus. And what that means in the way that we live and the way that we give and the way that we provide for others. And if here today you don't know Jesus, you need to look like Barnabas did for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, which gave him the confidence to live in the way that he did. And not just focus on a religious life, which turns up on Sundays. You need to look for the life-changing Savior. You need to look for relationship. And not for the fact that we observe something or we do something. As Tim said, Christianity Explored starts this week. If you have questions about who is Jesus and what difference can he make to my life, that is the place to start. Come along, discover it, and find out who this person is who changed Barnabas so much. So this week, How are we going to be more like Barnabas and less like Ananias and Sapphira? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this passage. We thank you for how tough it is, how difficult it is. But Lord, we just pray that you would help us with our motivation. A motivation behind the way that we are seen, the motivation behind the way that we give, the motivation behind the way that we serve others. Help us to do it so that we lift you high, so that people would come to know Jesus because of what we do and what we say and what we give. Help us to be a church which is a Barnabas church, that encourages and gives and wants more people to come to know, to love, and to follow Jesus. And help us this week, Lord, to personally be more like Barnabas in everything we do. Amen.